You're listening to Amud v'Chazara with Danny Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf, Kuf, Yud, Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf, Yud, Amud Beis, from the two dots, about five lines from the bottom. And thankfully, I don't want to speak disparagingly about Torah, but we're out of this long discussion of ancient Talmudic remedies. It happens to be Dr. Henry Abramson spoke about some of these in his history, Jewish history on the Daf, and he just mentioned that there's actually a lot of literature about Talmudic pharmacology and all these remedies. So there's a lot of literature based on out of this Gemara. I imagine all the other times we learned about similar things in Brachos and Shabbos. In Brachos, I remember on Nun Aleph we had some. In Shabbos, I think we had some around Samach Zayin. And elsewhere in the Masechta, so different remedies. So there's actually a lot of studies done on it. So just so we can appreciate the value, aside from it just being, you know, every word of Torah is Torah, but you know, these are something that that many people take very seriously on a non-Torah level, meaning at the very least a piece of history. So we are now still a little bit in the discussion, but not like series of different remedies that you're never going to use. We're sort of a much more practical discussion. Hopefully not really so practical, but there is a halacha lemaisa related to it. So let's take a look. We are at the bottom of Kuf Yud. As I said, Kuf Yud, the simon is a key. Over in this simon was a golden key ceremony I posted in the group, the three points from this Zikr Daf. And when we get to Kuf Yud Aleph, it's going to be a kayak. Right, so it's like Kaya, Kuf Yud Aleph, Kaya, so it's a kayak. That's going to be the synonym. So let's take a look at the bottom of Kuf Yud, Amud Beis. Liyarkona, so for jaundice, train Beshichra Umiakir. So a person should have two of the aforementioned ingredients cooked or with beer, cooked in beer, and that will sterilize a person, or cause them to be sterile. So this quote has been quoted before from our Mishnah. Umi shari, but wait, hold on. Is that permissible? Is that permissible to drink something that will render you sterile? Not sound so poshut. Because v'atani, we learned in a brisa, minayin l'sirus ba'adam shehu aser. How do we know that a person who is a sirus, who is a castrated, that he is aser? And over here, we are talking about from the Avoda, I believe, from the Kohanim. There's Rashi over here. Okay. Tamalomer, because the pasuk says, "Uba artzachem lo sasu bachem." Would you like to take a guess what parsha this is from? Wouldn't you know? Correct. Parshas Amar. This the Hashkafa Pratis continues to come out there, and you know, the previous Amud we had something about taking a certain thing, Divcha Letzarta, which Rashi says is from Pesach to Shavuos, also the Tzikufa we're in. I feel like every week at least one, and often multiple, and we'll see a couple more soon in Yitz Hashem. So anyway, it says, in your lands, you shall not do these things. Lo sa'asu, So lo sa'asu, lo ta'asu, that you shall not do, divrei Rabbi Chanina, meaning that you also shouldn't do these things. Meaning not only it's darshaning, Rashi says karibe lo ta'asu, that it's read lo ta'asu, that it's saying that not only should it not be the case, but you shall also not cause it. Meaning you shall not castrate, and this is actually referring. This is actually referring to animals. That you're not allowed to castrate animals, and it's saying there's a drasha of lo sasu bachem lo teasu bachem, that you should also not castrate humans, right? And in this week's parsha, we have for kohanim that are castrated, as well as animals that are puzzled for the avoda. And animals that are puzzled as carbonos, but when it tells us not to castrate animals, the implication is also that we should not be castrating humans. At least the drasha over here. Okay. So So now, how are you allowed to take one of these drinks that'll cause this that'll cause this problem? So hani li hecha de kamachavin ha fa me atzmahu. Over here, so that's talking about don't actively castrate. But over here, it's talking about it happens on its own, right? He's not taking it. Now, it's not necessarily a thing about like a kavana thing, but it's that the action that I'm doing is, you know, drinking this you know, potion, this antidote for a certain cure. And what might happen is that it will cause, the result indirectly will be that sterility. But that's not actively castrating. And this pasuk, this drash is telling me don't actively castrate, but it's not telling me necessarily that I can't drink one of these potions. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, harotza sheyusaris tarnagol, yito karbalto, umisaris me'ela. That somebody who, Rabbi Yochanan said, somebody who wants to castrate a rooster should take away karbalto, remove its comb. It's interesting, there's no discussion about Tzar Bale Chaim over here, to my knowledge. Could be done in a painless way. But you remove the rooster's comb, and then it will become sterile. And Rabbi Yochanan permits this because it's mistaris me'elav, it's indirect. So the implication is that you are allowed to castrate, or I don't know if the term is really castrate, but you are allowed to render an animal sterile, and therefore a human sterile, as long as it's indirect, right? If you remove its comb, that doesn't affect, right, where the rooster produces seed, but it'll somehow result. But it does cause it in an indirect manner, and Rabbi Yochanan permits that. So hold on. V'omer Rav Ashi, Ramos Ravchahu Dinakitale. No, it's Ramos Ruchahu. No, it's this like elevated spirit, attitude that's taken from him. Meaning that Rashi says, Tahu loves Sirusu, right? Bahama Ravashi, Tahu loves Sirusu, Ela Ramos Rucha Nikitale, Latarnagol. It's not that you actually castrate it. It doesn't physically render it sterile. It just takes away its gaiva. And it's a masculinity, if you will. Umishanita hodo hu misabel. And after you remove its hod, its splendor, which is also interesting, right? We're in the week of hod right now, and Lag Omer is hod shebahod as we head into that sphera. But you take away the hod of the rooster, misabel, it mourns, ve'ena mishamesh, right? It doesn't have relations anymore. Aval besiro safilum mela usser. So, of course, you can't, meaning, this is not considered indirect, sterilization. It's not considered castration. It's doing something that, you know, makes it depressed and hits it in its ego so that it's not, mishamish anymore. But it doesn't, you didn't make this, animal incapable of producing seed. And therefore, that's why it's mutter. However, to castrate, whether directly or indirectly, for humans or animals, would nevertheless be usur. That is the argument over here. And if that's the case, how can you have a discussion about, you know, whether you can use this type of thing on Shabbos when you can't use it during the week because of this issue? So, v'hamar Rabbi Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and we turn over to the next element. Hakol modim. Everybody admits. B'machemitz achar machemitz shehu chayiv. Shenemar lo sefe chametz, lo sefe chametz. That's something that's chametz, and then afterwards it's cooked again and becomes chametz again. That you are chayiv. B'misares achar misares. And also, and this is the main point, also somebody who castrates after he castrates, shu chayiv, that he's also chayiv. Meaning that, I skipped two important words, and that didn't make sense. Let's go back. Previous summit. So the Rav Ashi's response is, Ela bisaris. Rather, how is it mutter for someone to drink this? So we're only talking about a saris. We're talking about a eunuch, somebody who's already impotent. That's whom we're talking about. That what so right so can they have it on Shabbos? Can they have it during the week? So we're not talking about somebody who is able to have children. We're talking about somebody who is already impotent, and that's why there's a question. Okay, can they use it on Shabbos? Is it medicine? But that's the only thing that we're talking about. However, somebody who is not already castrated, they would certainly not be allowed to have this. Now, says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that's also a problem. That even if somebody is castrated, they can't do anything to castrate themselves further. Whereas he brings in this teaching. Sorry, allergies. So the point is over here. That somebody who is misaris achu misaris shuchayv, as the pasuk says, never as the pasuk says in the sixth parsha, umauch v'kasus v'nasuch v'charus. That these are different types of people who are castrated in some form or another, right? Uuch is where they're basically different words for like crushed, and v'charus is cut off, and nasuk. Nasuk is like nesek, like detached, and ma'uch and chasus are like different words for like crushed and pulverized, right? Talking about the person's reproductive organs, right? So ma'uch v'chasus, it's like crushed and pulverized or something like that. V'nasuk, detached, v'charus, and cut off. So these are all kohanim that are. I believe this is talking about kohanim or animals. I think so. That they're all invalid for the avoda. So im al krus chayiv al nasuk lo kol shekein. Why does it have to say both krus and nasuk? If it's cut off, then for sure if it's detached, like what, isn't that obvious? El lahavi nosik achar kore shu chayiv. Rather, somebody who is. Why does it mention all of these categories? You know, right, you can start just learning kal v'chomer to teach you that even if it's kores. And then it's no sake, someone detaches it further, meaning he's already impotent, in at least in one way, and now he's impotent in a second way, meaning there's a second reason for him to be sterile. So you're also chayiv for that act. No sagachar kores, shehu chayiv. Right? Meaning that if somebody is castrated, and now they drink something that's going to make them sterile for a different reason, so there is nevertheless an isser in that. So how can you say we're even talking about somebody who's already sterile? So the Gemara says the ela bezakein. Rather, it's talking about a zakein. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, but that's right. So a zakein, a very old person, he is allowed to drink one of these potions because right, he's old, he's probably already sterile. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Hein hein hechziruni lenarus." Say, right, this is the Gemara. It looks like in maybe Gittin. I think it looks on the time. It looks like Gittin. That he says, like you know, "Hein hein, look at this. My youth came back to me. Something came back. Some youth came back to him." And therefore, even if somebody's old, you can't count them out. So you shouldn't assume that even an old person can drink something that's going to make them sterile, because you know sometimes things happen, like what happened with Rabbi Yochanan. Ella be'isha. Now, rather, we're talking about a woman. That a woman, right? There's no isser of castrating a woman. It's not physically possible. Therefore, she wouldn't be included in the the isser of I guess damaging genitalia, and therefore there's no reason to think that her becoming sterile would be an issue, and therefore we're talking about a woman is allowed to drink this. Wait, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Adamar al Shneim who Omer vayivarech el osam elokim vayomer lehem pru revu, but that doesn't work according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, who says, and also I actually you know me, what we're bringing in is a new factor of not just the castration, but there's another problem. You're also being mevatel an asay, right? Of the ability to procreate. That's a big one. Peru revu to have children. So I think the Gemara leaves that out for now. I think because then you get into a different discussion. Well, what if somebody's already yotze? Let's say they have two boys and a girl. So they're yotze according to Beis Shammai, they're yotze according to Beis Hillel. They have enough children, so maybe you wouldn't get into the question. But it seems that there's also a problem of making a person impotent because we have a general obligation to be fruitful and multiply. So, but that doesn't include women. Right, according to some, it doesn't. The women are not included in that. Well, what would Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha say? Because he says, "Al shnehem omer." On the both of them, it says, and he blessed, and Hashem blessed them, and he said to them, "Peru urvu." So he includes women in the obligation of peru urvu. So he would say, certainly, a woman cannot make herself sterile. So how are you allowed to do this? So Ma'ikel Meimer, what would you say? So he says, "Bizakena." So it's talking about an old woman. That doesn't happen. An old woman does not all of a sudden return to her youth and able to have children, with the exception, obviously, of, you know, Sarah Imenu, which was clearly an exception and a great miracle. But an older woman, and also I guess there's no castration going on, so we don't get into castration questions. And anyway, she's not shayach to Peru Urvu. Because she's old, therefore that's the one who we're talking about could drink this potion. Inami Bakara, also a barren woman, a woman who is physically unable to have children for some other reason, and since there's no castration questions about her, obviously, because she's excluded, so therefore that's whom we are talking about. So when we talk about someone being allowed to drink this potion to cure jaundice, even though it's going to result in sterility, so it's actually mutter. For a zakena and an akara, that would be okay because they're women, not included in these castration isurim, as well as they are not shayach to peru revu because they are not able to have children. Okay, and we are at a new mishnah, hachoshesh bishinov. Right, then this is actually the last mishnah of the perek. As we are flying through Prakim. Hachoshesh bishinov, somebody who is feeling pain in his teeth, lo yigma bahen esachometz, he should not swallow through them chometz, vinegar. Right, someone should not do that. Which is right. That's because that is clearly right mukamilsa. That's clearly doing a remedy, healing. But he is allowed to dip his food, to dip his food in vinegar, and if he gets healed, he's healed, okay? You know, worst case scenario, he gets healed on its own. We're okay with that, but he can't, you know, actively do it in a way that's mukhamil, milsa, that he's healing. But you can, you know, eat normal food. Hakoshesh b'masna, somebody who's like in pain in their waist or their loins, lo yisoch yayin v'chometz. He should not anoint himself with wine or vinegar, because these are also practices. Rashi says these are practices that people only do for refuah. Therefore, it's mukhamilsa avos sachu es hashemen. But he's allowed to use oil to anoint himself because that was a normal practice for healthy people as well. Velo shemen vered, but he can't use rose oil. Rashi says lefisha dam of yikar, and it's very expensive. Ain't a matzoi, and it's not common for people to use that. Umuchamilsa derefua avid. If you're spending so much money for this rose oil, you are definitely using it for refua. You don't just use that for oil. B'nei malachim sachin shemen vered al makosehen shekein darchon lasoch b'chol. Now princes, wealthy people, princes, royal people that in general use this oil for their wounds, so they can do it because it's also their way to do it during on chol, so they're allowed to do it. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim. Rabbi Shimon argues that all of Yisrael are b'nei malachim. All of Jews are children are children of kings, are princes, are nobility, and therefore they should also be allowed to use the shemen vered on their wounds, which is interesting. We've seen Rav Shimon say this before. Actually, we quoted this mission, I believe, earlier when we were talking about kings wearing bells, right? If you remember royal people back on Samach Zion, people wearing bells on their clothing, and we say, well, B'nai Malachim do this, other people don't. And then Rav Shimon, we quote Rav Shimon, says, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Heim. One point about this is that this is a line I believe that is discussed a lot in Hasidus regarding Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And this is a typical, this is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And this is a typical thing that's discussed, that Rabbi Shimon says, L'halach, kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim, and speaking of the milos of Klal Yisrael and the godliness of what it is to be a Jew. So this is like a quoted, quotable quote of Rabbi Shimon that's discussed around Lag BaOmer time often. Not just because we're on the Amud the day before Lag BaOmer. So it's interesting that we were able to get to this piece. Anyways, let's take a look at the Gemara. Rami le Rav Acha Aricha dehava Rav Acha bar Papa le Rav Bahu. So Rav Acha Aricha, Rav Acha the tall one, who happens to be Rav Acha bar Papa, he, Rami le Rav Bahu, he presents a contradiction to Rabbi Bahu. Tanan, he says, we learned in the Mishnah, HaChoshish B'shinav lo Yigma Ben Esa Chometz, somebody who feels pain in his teeth, a toothache, should not swallow or gulp or sip vinegar. Lememra, is this to say, the chometz mali lishinayim? Is this to say that vinegar is good for your teeth? That can't be. V'hoksiba, we have a pasuk in Mishnah that says, kichometz lishinayim ka'ashan le'inayim. That says, sa'at, so someone who is lazy, is like vinegar to teeth and smoke to eyes. Right, so laziness is like a bad thing, right? Smoke to eyes, bad thing. So it sounds like vinegar to teeth is also a bad thing. Lo kasha ha bik yuha dipri ha bechala. This is with the kiyuha dipri, which Rashi says is yayin shelo nisbashel kotzarko ba'anavav kasha lishnayim. Wine that wasn't fully like cooked to the extent that it needed to be in its grapes, or maybe the grapes weren't so ripe. So there's a certain type of vinegar that's made from like not so ripe grapes. So that's not good for your teeth. But the challah is regular vinegar, and that's what's good for your teeth. So our Mishnah is talking, right, the pasuk in Mishnah, like Shlomo Melech, was referring to a certain type of vinegar that's made from unripe, not fully ripe grapes. But our Mishnah is referring to a different type of regular vinegar, which is beneficial for your teeth. V'boy saying, if you want, you could also say, ha v'ha v'chala. Both are talking about regular vinegar. Ha de'ika maka, ha de'leka maka. This is where there is a maka, and this is where there is no maka. Right? If someone has a physical wound, aside from just, you know, the pain, but if there's a physical wound, so that will make a difference. Right? It's ika maka, if there is a wound, masi, it heals the wound. Leka maka, marfi. If it doesn't, if there is no wound there, so it will loosen the teeth. Rashi says, "Sumas abasar v'ashinayim." Right? Sumas abasar. It's going to v'ashinayim nerpin rechokim zemizeh. What's going to happen is that I guess the vinegar in the mouth makes things smaller. So if somebody has a maka, they have a wound there, it'll make the swelling or the wound smaller. But if they don't have a maka there, just kind of a pain, so it makes the gums smaller, the flesh of the mouth smaller, and then the teeth become looser. So Shlomo Melech was talking about when there's no maka, then it's bad for your teeth. But when there is a maka, which our Mishnah was talking about, that's when it's good for your teeth, and therefore the Mishnah answers it. Okay. Lo yigma behen esachomet, as we just said. Vatanya, but we learned in a brayso the opposite. Lo yigma, not the opposite. Lo yigma upolit. A person should not swallow it and then spit it out. Avo migmea ubalea. But you're migma ubalea. But you're allowed to swallow it. Sorry, you're allowed to sip it, I guess, and then swallow it. Right. So our Mishnah says you can't have it at all, even if you're swallowing it. Right. I mean, it applies even if you're swallowing it. Now over here it says, if you're swallowing it, it's fine. It's just that you don't spit it out. And the reason is obvious, right? Because if you're putting it in your mouth and gargling, spitting it out, so it's mukhamilsa that you're trying to heal yourself. So now we have a contradiction over here. Amarabai, kitna, nami must nisin migma upolate. And okay, no, our Mishnah, it doesn't say everything straight out, but we should elucidate it a little bit, and it really means migma upolate. Our Mishnah is talking about migma upolate. But yeah, Taka, if he was going to swallow it, then even our Mishnah would agree it's fine. That's what the Mishnah teaches. Okay. Rav Amar afilu tema migma ubaleya. Migma ubaleya. So he says, no. It could be that we're talking, you can even say it's migma ubaleya, our Mishnah is, even if he swallows it, kan lefne tibol, kan leachar tibol. Here is before he dips, and here is after he dips. Rashi explains lifnei tibul means lifnei achila mutter, that you're allowed to drink the vinegar before you eat. Right? Tibo means like the dipping of the meal. So lifnei achila mutar shadarkan haya litbo b'chol meitz b'chol yom. Right? If it's just before a meal and you're you know, so you put you drink vinegar, so that's totally fine. V'haroa omer zehu tibula, and the person who watches is like, oh, this is his meal, he's dipping, he's eating, that's fine. He's not going to think it's refuah. La'achar tibul usher, but after the meal, right, so there's like no longer a meal. Hakol yodin shekvar sa'i. Everyone knows he already ate with tevel kol tzarko, and he dipped as much food and vinegar as he needs. So clearly, what's he doing right now? It's muchamilsa that he is trying to heal himself, and therefore, our mishnah is a case where he didn't eat, where he already finished the meal. That's why it says you can't drink it, even if you're going to swallow it. And the brisa, which says no, you can as long as you swallow it. That's because it's before the meal. And therefore, people won't assume that it's a healing thing. They'll just assume it's part of his meal. Okay. So now the Gemara is actually going to challenge Rava possibly saying such a thing. V'neima midilif ne tibol shari la'achar tibol nami shari. So, but maybe we should say that since before the meal, it's permitted. After the meal, it's also permitted. D'shamina le'la Rava d'isle ho'il. Because we learn that Rava holds to the principle of Ho'il, right, as we'll demonstrate in a moment. So there's a principle called Ho'il, since that sometimes that if we have like an Isser, an Isser Derabanan at least, if it's permitted in one case, so because we permit it in one case, so we're going to permit it in another case as well. And here's an example of Rava holding of this principle of Ho'il. Dama Rava, Leka midi debashabbos shari uba yom kippurim aser, that there's nothing on Shabbos that's permitted that is forbidden on Yom Kippur. Now, this is obviously not referring to fasting, because fasting is certainly permitted. Eating, right? Eating is certainly permitted on Shabbos and forbidden on Yom Kippur, but it's talking about in regards to malacha. When we're talking about malachos in general, Shabbos is going to be more strict in malacha than Yom Kippur. Now, it happens to be all 39 malachos apply equally, but the violating Shabbos is a more grave offense than Yom Kippur. So since certain things are permitted on Shabbos, it's permitted on Yom Kippur. Ho'il divas Shabbos shari, b'yom kippurim nami shari. And since certain things which Rashi elaborates over here, he says that it's a Gemara in Beitza that he quotes over here, right? The ain lachasha aser, right? V'neima midlevnei tibol shari v'chulei. The ain lachasha aser lemiktas haShabbos umotu lemiktaso to hashanin on the Rava. Beperek yomtov b'meseches Beitza. The Amar that he says gabe tvila, that regarding tvila, hoil bechi haygavna diktani hasan de ain makbilin kalin b'Shabbos va'adam tovel. Ramin and Kalim, my time alone. So basically, he goes to the Gemara over here regarding tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And since it's going to be okay on Shabbos, because of Ho'il, it's going to be okay on Yom Kippur as well. And therefore, we try to extrapolate that and say, okay, so Rav over here holds to this principle of Ho'il. And therefore, Rav should assume that just like Rav should assume that just like it's mutter before the meal, like the vinegar that you drink is part of the meal, so shall see mutter after the meal for the same assumption. Now, the Gemara accepts this and says, Hadar be Rava mehach. Yeah, it's true. Rava does hold to the principle of Ho'il, and therefore he actually retracted this answer, right? We had two answers to this stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Abaye gave his answer that it's not a stira, just the Mishnah didn't explain more, that it means where he spit it out. And Rava says, no, it's before and after the Suda, but then Rava will ultimately have to hold like Abaye's answer, because he holds this principle of Ho'il. Now the Gemara asks, Mimai dimahach hadarbe, how do you know he retracted from this? Maybe Dilma mehahi hadarbe. Maybe he retracted from the Ho'il stance in Meseches Beitza, right? He says Ho'il and Beitza. Maybe he doesn't hold the Ho'il anymore. Lo sagadaitach. No, don't say that. D'tanya, because we went to the Brisa. Kol chayve tvilos tovlin kedarkon bein b'tishavav bein b'yom kippurim. Because we have a Brisa that says anybody who's a chayv tvilos, they're allowed to tovel in their normal manner on tishavav, whether it's tishavav or Yom Kippur. So meaning that Rav is going to ultimately, at the end of the day, have to say, he's going to have to explain this brisa somehow, so he's going to agree that tefillah is mutter on Yom Kippur. Tevila, right? It's not necessarily washing. Tevila is mutter on Yom Kippur. And the principle that backs up this brisa that says it's mutter to tovel on Yom Kippur is the principle of Hoil. Meaning, at the end of the day, Rava, if we have to choose what's Rava going to say, is he going to say his first answer or Hoil? He must say Hoil because otherwise he has no way to explain this brisa in Maseches Tanis and the discussion in Beitza. So that's that piece. Hachoshesh v'masna v'hulei. So back to our Mishnah, somebody who feels pain in his loins. So what he can anoint himself with? Rav Abba Bar Zavda says in the name of Rav that halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Lameimra de Rav Rabbi Shimon. So really, wait, you're telling me that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon in general when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos. For Rav Shimon Bar Chia said Mishmei de Rav in the name of Rav himself. Hi Misuchraisa din Zaisa. This Rashi says beged korchin bebarza chovis shacheres mneisha in a neck of shava, right? Some sort of barrel rag stopper kind of thing that plugs up a barrel. So he says that what are you allowed to do? Turn to the oven. Asher lahaduke beyomatava. That you're allowed to you're not allowed to stuff it up on Yom Tov. Rashi says mishum schita because it's going to be ringing, it's squeezing it in, and things are going to come out. And Rashi also adds v'afagav delo kamechavein lischot. Even though it's not your kavana, you're not trying to do schita, you're not trying to ring it. Alma lo sphere like Rabbi Shimon, but davershen meskavein. Right, Rabbi Shimon would matter such a thing. Right, sticking in this like rag stopper that's going to cause schita. Rabbi Shimon would say, of course, you're not intending to do it. Davershen meskavein, it's mutter. And Rav says it's Usr, so it must be Rav doesn't hold like Rav Shimon. So why are you going to tell me that Rav holds like Rav Shimon when Rav Shimon says, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim hein, which features a kula regarding Hilchos Shabbos. So you're going to tell me Rav holds like Rav Shimon over there, but he doesn't hold like him over here? And the Gemara responds, Afilu Rav Shimon modeh. No, even Rav Shimon will be modeh in this case, that it's Usr. Why? Because Abaye and Rava both said, as we've quoted before a couple of times on Ayin Hey and Kuf Gimel, and we'll quote several more times in this Masechta, that what is he saying? What do they say about Rabbi Shimon? Another time, Rabbi Shimon b'sik reisha v'lo yamus. That Rabbi Shimon agrees that p'sik reisha, that even if it's Rabbi Shimon ain't a miskavim, but if it's guaranteed to happen, this action is guaranteed, it's called p'sik reisha. And that will be usher. So and now we're going to and then the Gemara will continue. The Rav is going to finish off the parak, but we'll continue discussing whether or not we hold like Rabbi Shimon. So as you enjoy your Lag BaOmer night seder, you're going to learn about whether or not we hold like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is very very exciting, very timely, and I hope you enjoy. And this is amazing. I'm stopping the shiur right now in 2 seconds. And it is 33 minutes. How about that? I meant 33 minutes, but now it's a little bit over. Okay, enjoy.